Well, I'm mighty proud to have a friend like you.
Oh, I'm proud to have a friend like you to call me up on Sunday morning. I didn't know city folks got out like us country folks down here.
Well, I'm down at the ranch. And,
are you down at the ranch?
Yeah, and I just, I was out yesterday and got in about midnight, and you're 2 hours different, so I didn't call you, but I thought that you not only did a very able job, but you did one that I think is mighty patriotic, and I want you to give a little thought to the pitfalls in it when I get back up there and we get settled. Right after we sign it, I want to kind of get you to be an unofficial advisor as to how we can keep this thing clean. Just to anticipate the problems that are going to come from our region and our section. And let's pick out one or two that could be real models and try to make our dreams come true.
Well, we do have wonderful potential in this thing, President, and I'm complimented you'd want to talk to. I don't know whether I can be of any value or not, but I'll certainly help you any way in the world I can.
Well, I've got two things. I got to make it a success, if I can, to bear out my dreams, and got to make it a success to not let you down.
Well, you don't have to worry about letting me down, but this thing has tremendous potential if it's managed properly, and I think it will be. I'm delighted you're pleased with our efforts. We couldn't have ever done it without the assistance we had from the executive branch of the government, but we did outvote Judge Smith, didn't we?
I don't even tell myself some of the things I did, Phil.
It was a bloody bruising battle on the floor.
I had a dozen people there that wouldn't even tell our own boys we had them. But I think it worked out fine. And what problem are you going to have now if the Senate doesn't concur?
I don't see much of a problem of failure to concur. There's a possibility that this loyalty vote thing that John Bell Williams got on there will give Morris and McNamara some pause. The possibility that the educational institutions may hop on that feature and stop it. Of course, that's sheer demagoguery to put it on there. We're dealing only with the youth there that would know what they were doing. But maybe we can persuade Morris and McNamara. I don't think we'll have trouble with this deal on that. Now, there are other things that could give us, that the only other thing that could give us a difficulty at present is the extension of the veto of the governor of the state to the public agency, which, as Dick Russell's statement stated, is not necessary. But I wasn't thinking about that necessity. I was thinking about the necessity of voting. North Carolina boys, we finally picked up Porter Hardy from Virginia on that, on other things too, I guess.
I want you to tell boys like that that you were talking to me and you pointed out that they'd helped us, and I said I was mighty grateful. I think I won't get to tell them all, but you authorized a fellow like Porter Hardy, tell him you had a long visit with me, and we talked about his vote, and I said I sure did appreciate
it. I certainly will do that.
I would like to see them concur Monday. I'm afraid that the Douglases and the Clarks and folks like that will raise hell, won't do it, maybe the Javitses. But I told them to do it yesterday. If I'd have been leader, it'd have been concurred in yesterday. But
if they would concur in it as it is, the only substantive amendment of note is the loyalty thing that John Bell Williams got on. And
what about that farm grant?
We got the grant changed to loan, and I finally had to take a little old amendment from Edith Green to make it certain that no one family would get more than $2,500 out of the combination of that $1,500 loan and the $2,500 loan. The $2,500 loan is for non-agricultural purposes. The $1,500 loan is for gotten past the point of, after debate had been limited, past the point where we could discuss it, and our amendment was voted in. I don't see that the Senate ought to have any objection to that. I don't see that the Department of Agriculture should. The FHA won't be hampered a bit in its operation, my judgment.
Somebody told me some of the boys were...
Somebody told you what?
Some of our boys were just livid. We told them that we weren't going to do it, and then they put... Either Green put that amendment in, and they mad, thought we misled them.
Well, Bob Poge and Ray Roberts came running to me. They misunderstood what you were trying to do. And I assured them what your amendment would do. All it does is to see that one family doesn't get more than $2,500 at one time outstanding, which I don't think will hurt the administrative end of it. I don't think it'll have to hurt the effect of it.
Did you explain to Bob Poge and them that?
I explained to Bob and to Ray, and I think I made Ray understand. I don't know whether I did Bob or not. You know, in a crowd back in Elgin Flash, you don't ever know. I did make two or three others understand, and they seemed satisfied about it. But it's not a grant anymore. It's a loan.
What precedence do we have for this loyalty oath? We had one in the education bill, and Kennedy, as I remember it, had it taken out.
Had to take it out when they put it in the National Defense Education Act.
Yeah.
And the colleges all got sore and took it out. Frankly, there is no need for it in this level of work, because what we're doing is teaching them the thing that will make them loyal to the United States, and not a subject for the propaganda that makes them disloyal. And of course, John Bell Williams, I don't have to say a thing. You know what that fellow was doing.
Sure.
Judge Smith were trying to embarrass the boys that were voting for the bill in the hope that we'd get up and fight it. But we didn't have time to talk against it. We were there again, the members would put in our favor amendment.
Well, now you reckon these colleges will refuse to handle a program with that in there?
Some of them may. That's why I think we may have a little difficulty with it in the Senate. On the other hand, we may be able to persuade the colleges to go with us, because we'll have this thing back again next year, you know. We've got a one-year authorization for appropriation. We've got a three-year bill, but just one-year appropriation. And, we may be able to persuade them to come on. I talked to Shriver a little bit about it after it was over, and then I talked to just the morning before the vote, after the vote Friday night. And I talked to one or two others, and Roosevelt thinks maybe we might get the Senate to take it, and he's more sensitive to that phase of it than perhaps some of the rest of them.
What you ought to do is tell him that any of them raise a question, or if it is raised in the Senate, for him to tell him, you ought to tell him today that if it is raised in the Senate, we don't stir it up. We're going to try to concur Monday morning. But if they do raise it and raise hell, he ought to tell them that the committee is going to, we don't want to stop the poverty program. We need to get it going right now to have it ready for September school. But
you mean tell Shriver that?
No, Roosevelt, who runs around that crowd.
And, I'll tell you what I'll tell you.
And Shriver, too, and just tell them, though, as soon as we get back here, that we're all going to get together and try to figure out some way to improve it, clean it up, and you
I
might...
Pat McNamara and Wayne Morris, too.
Yeah.
They'll both be important. Wayne Morris will be particularly important on this thing if he'll take it. And maybe we can talk him into it. Lister Hill, Lister would go along with it.
I don't believe I'd raise it to Wayne until he raised it. If it did, then I'd call him.
Oh, all right.
And tell him that you...
I think I'd call him that night.
I think if you get along with him, all right, that's pretty good.
Well, we do. Maybe I better do this. Maybe I better just call Jim and get Jim to...
Yeah, that's what I'd do.
Yeah, well, Jim's got more rapper in that area than I have.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
I guess old Charlie was pretty let down, wasn't he?
He told Albert Ramsey that we got a new rule in the House, that they put a damn Southerner in charge of the bill, and then they put a Southerner in the chair to preside. And every time one of the opposition sticks up his head, they throw the axe at him.
Who is presiding? Wilbert?
Albert Raines of Alabama.
God bless him. That's wonderful.
And he did a good job. He's a fine fella.
So what happened to Tootin? He left us on a vote or two, didn't he?
Well, Tootin left us on all the votes except the motion to strike all after the next vote. He stayed with us on that. That was the first one where the judge did rise the committee, and then we got back into the House and voted down on the record vote.
Now what happened? He told me he was going with us all the way.
Mr. President, he don't know what he's doing. I hate to say that.
Isn't that awful?
He don't know whether it's... He don't know which way the sun shines. He's just the same way going through the spring he is coming from. He don't know where the hell he's going.
I'll be there. But he came down there and he told me, he said, now, if my vote will mean a difference, you got it. You can count on it. Then he came back the next time and he said, I've changed my mind. I'm going with you all the way. I don't want it. I think Van's a coward that just says this, and I'm going to go all the way with you, and you count my vote.
That's exactly what he told me two different times. And then he came and told me that he backed out and I'm going to be a coward. And I said, well, hell, you've been one of us since you've been up here. And I did tell him on this motion to rise and strike all after the night, because I said, if you do this, I'll be damned if I ever lift my hand for you. We had two fellas vote against us on the motion to strike all after an action clause. That's to kill it without a debate. That didn't have to do it, Flint and Forrester. They could have stayed out of that and not hurt themselves and still vote against the bill, against the conviction. They got in there, really helped Judge rise the committee on it. And then they voted with the judge on the record vote in the House, but we were able to beat him down. That's where we got the first record. He was in pretty good shape. So I guess it's a good thing to try, but I hate to see our own boys try to keep it from debating.
If this has to go to conference, will you have any trouble getting a rule from him?
No, I don't think so, because under the resolution, I think if we, I think we can manage that all right. But I'm going to bank on us not going to conference, Mr. President.
If you could
talk to Mike Mansfield, and you will, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I'll talk to Jim today. He went to Pocatello, Idaho to make a speech last night. And I think he'll get back in sometime this afternoon. But I'll be talking to him before the Senate convenes tomorrow.
What he can do is say we're getting ready to sit down right as soon as we can and prepare to take this out and kind of improve one or two other things. And the way to do it is let us handle it by the committee, and we can get it by the House that way. Otherwise, we can't get it. The House would
we can take those things out next year.
I tell him that you can't take them out this year. If you're going back to the House, they'd beat you. And the best thing to do is just give them a little time, and you'll take it out before it does any harm.
That's exactly right, and that's what I'm doing now. I've got a tremendous, but not a tremendous, but I've got a mean, nasty fight on down here in the primary. If I could get by without a conference on that, it'd give me a few days to campaign.
Well, I sure do it now. We don't mix in primaries, but anything that you want us to do, let me know.
Well, I don't think I know
I could hurt you more than I could help you, but any way in the world, if you got anything pending around there that's got any problems in them, let us quietly clear them up.
You could tell that fella up at Detroit. Name starts with an R, you know.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir. I'll do that.
Yes.
I'll do that today.
Tell him to call off this General Motors crowd at Doraville, Georgia.
Give me that name.
That's UAW.
Yeah, I know it, but I mean the town.
Yeah.
In Georgia.
Doraville.
Doraville.
That's the Buick Oldsmobile Pontiac plant just outside of Atlanta. And they're riding this boy around, and that's where he's getting his breakfast from.
Thank you, my friend.
Yes,
sir. I'll let you hear from him.
All right, sir.
Bye.
Bye.